We've come to give God praise on today. It's a brand new day he's made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to ask you to stand and make your way down to the altar so that we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Once again, today is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This is a brand new day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let's look to the hills. Father God, thank you this morning, for you are the God that lives and not dies. You're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we ask or think. You're able, God, to supersede our own thinking. You're able to do what man cannot do. There is no impossibility that you cannot take and make it possible. With that being said, God, we take our hands, lift them high, and worship you. We open our hearts and worship you. We open our mouths and worship you and declare that you are King and Lord of Lords. We will command our soul to bless the Lord. We will command our voice to sing his praise. We will command our feet to leap for joy. And we will declare there is no God like our God. He's great and mighty and marvelous in all of his doing. And let everyone say amen. Soul to bless the Lord. I commend my soul to bless the Lord. I commend my soul to bless the Lord. I command 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 my soul to bless the Lord.
I command my soul
to bless the Lord.
To bless the Lord.
To give him praise.
Hands, hands,
hands, can't pick their feet up. There was that one time they could pick them up and put them down. But I want you, if you got the power, I want you to just pick those feet off the ground. Pick those feet up off the ground. That's it. Pick those feet up off the ground. Let's sing it together. I command my feet.
I command my feet to leap for joy.
Come on.
I command my feet to leap for joy.
Say it one more time. This time I want you to help your neighbor to say, loosen up for Jesus. We're going to say it one more time. I command these feet. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
I command my feet to leap for joy. I command my feet to leap for joy. I command my feet to leap for joy. I command my feet.
The Lord, so, so.
Come on.
Bless the Lord, so, so. Bless the Lord, so, so.
Everybody give God praise.
Like
nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. My song's for you. My song's for you. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. My song's for you. My song's for you. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. My song's for you. My song's for you. Nothing else will do. Oh, I believe you will come like the rain.
Talking to God here, God keeps showing me something. You know, we said, my soul longs for you. The first service, God spoke to me, and he reminded me that he's made us of three beings. We have the body, which we see. You can look at your neighbor and see the body. We have our spirit, which is a heart inside of us that wants to, that God has changed and renewed. But we said, my soul, my mind longs for you. So what God spoke to me this morning, he said, David, if your soul, if your mind longs for me, then you've got to change your way of thinking. You've got to change your mind. He said, really, really, if your mind wants me, you've got to renew your mind on a daily basis. So, you know, I'm saying, God, my soul longs for you. My mind longs for me to think like you want me to think. And you know what? When you begin to think like God wants you to think, guess what? Things start to happen then. Because then you start to speak the word. You know what? It's already in your heart that God wanted to do things for you. But when you begin to get what's in your heart, in your mind, and you begin to speak those things, then guess what happens? I saw us when our minds started to change. I saw a wave start to go across the front of this church this morning. I saw God just rush in like a wave. And he came across the front of this church and he began to get people wet. I said he began to get people wet because you start to change the way you think. And you get to the place where you don't care what's going on beside you. And you go, God, it's me and you. And I want it to rain. I want you to rain on me.
So let it rain. So let it rain.
Let it rain.
Church, come on, church, come on, give him a shout of praise. Come on, give him some glory. Give him some glory this morning.
Touching earth. of heaven touching earth, high Father, all of heaven rose your name, sing louder, let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it, the sound of heaven touching?
Spirit.
shall break out. Heaven come down. Spirit break out. Break out, break out. Break our walls down.
As we pour out a praise, we pour out a praise. Let your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise.
Jesus.
Picture yourself as a vessel that's being taken before God Almighty. They're going to pour you out at the feet of God.
It's your breath in my lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Come on.
In our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath. In our lungs. So we pour out our praise.
Come on, pour it out.
It's your breath. Oh, yes, it is.
In our lungs.
At the feet of God. Come on.
Pour it out.
Pour out our praise.
It's your breath.
Yeah. In our lungs.
So we pour.
So we pour out our praise.
Come on, here comes the shift.
Pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Oh,
shit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 We love your name, Jesus. Lord, we say your name, everything starts to change in our lives. Jesus. Jesus. We are saved through your name. We are healed through your name. We are baptized in your name. Jesus. Jesus. We love your name. Thank you for the authority that's in your name. God, we don't stand here whooped people with crutches. We stand here with our hands lifted high, reaching towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, touching heaven this morning. We thank you that heaven is coming to earth. We thank you, God, that you are moving in our presence, that God, your life, you're changing our life through your life today in the name of Jesus. 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 That you're not a dead God still in a grave, but you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't call us to religion. You called us to a relationship. Thank you that you're in this room and you're changing lives. And Lord, we submit ourselves to you today. Is an individual here this morning, you're having a gallbladder attack. And the Lord wants you to know that he's going to heal you even before the afternoon is over. You're going to say, you know, I know I had that. And the Holy Ghost is going to remind you, no, I took that before you even left the service. Father, in Jesus' name, I command the gallbladder to be made new in Jesus' name. I command a brand new gallbladder to be deposited in their body in the name of Jesus. There's another individual on your right side from the bottom end of your buttocks down your right leg on the back side. It swings out to the outer portion of the knee as well, that whole pain line. I just curse right now pain in the body, and I command right now the alignment. Father, I command right now all swelling to diminish and be gone in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you are the healing God in this room. Jesus, you are so, you are so faithful. You are so faithful. And I don't know what it is, but just saying that word, I just felt a surge of the Holy Spirit. You are so faithful. Whew. Not sure what you're doing, Spirit of God, but it doesn't matter. You do what you do because you are God and we are not. Love the people. Love your people, King. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing this one more time. Everything you got in your spirit, let God burst out of your spirit this morning. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. There are folks in here that don't know what's going on, and you're a little scared. And I want you to know you're going to be all right. Turn to somebody and say, you're going to be all right. No, really. What's happening here is, and I want to explain it to you because it's so important for you to understand. You see, if God is dead, then you go sing a few hymns or hers, and then you hear a little sermonette and you go home. But when God is alive, your praise changes. You see, your praise changes from death to life. They're not just words anymore. It's not just saying statements anymore. It's not just singing a song anymore. It's alive in you. See, there are different stages of worship, and one of them, the last one, is called Tehillah, which is, I don't even have any words to say. I got no more to say. I got nothing else I can do. Worship through me. When all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, just without you saying a word, just starts worshiping right through you. What an amazing experience. And you see, how many of you know, it's funny, there's a whole group of people out there that say, well, you know, your church is too emotional. What are you, stupid? Of course it's emotional. God gave us emotions. He gave us emotions to experience Him, to experience love, to experience excitement. When there is no emotion, then how you ever know it's in the heart? See, this is so imperative for you to get a hold of in your own life. Some of you sit back, and I'm not condemning you, please understand. Every Sunday, do something you've never done before. Maybe you sat in the back row since you got saved. Move two rows up. Then, in another month, move a few more rows up. Watch out. Pastor Dan might pray for you. You're going to be all right. Why? Well, because, honestly, we don't push people down in this church. We got no need to fake God in this church. He's either here or we're all going home. Because we could have a barbecue, you know what I mean? But we're here not because we have to, but because we love Him. And He's real. Amen? Come on, if your God is real, give Him a shout this morning. Jesus, isn't it? You can sing so bad that everybody around you cries, but Jesus still smiles. Hallelujah. He goes, I know that kid. That's my kid. I heard him. I want you to know what I'm praying for, because everybody's so mean to me in this church when it comes to singing. Pastor, you can't sing. Josiah Skinkle's mean to me. He says, Pastor, I was out in the foyer when you were singing, and he said, dear Lord, I told him to shut you off. Hallelujah. He said, there's a sound that came over there. I didn't know what it was. So I'm praying every morning, Jesus, because I can play guitar. I play guitar all the time. I said, Jesus, give me a voice so I can at least sing to you okay. Amen? But no matter how you sing, He hears you. And this is something called interaction, when you and I work in the presence of the Lord. And this is what changes our lives. That corporate anointing, one shall put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000. It's different from going to religious church. And so if you're a guest here, we just want you to know you're going to be okay. You are. You're going to be all right. And I remember the very first time I took my wife to a church like this, it was in Rochester, New York. That's where we got the term white knuckle disease. Because I watched as a lady came across the front with a flag. waving the flag and dancing all over the place. I watched my wife's hands go, and I watched her knuckles get very, very white. And it was the first time I've ever seen something like that. But you know what? That woman just loved Jesus. There was a woman in our Bible school. I'll end with this. We'll transition. There was a woman in our Bible school. Every single Sunday morning, she did this. Worship would begin, and she was an old African-American lady, and this is what she would do. Through the whole worship service, this is what she did. I'll be honest with you. We used to make fun of her. And then the preacher stood up one day. I don't know how long ago it was, you know, after we had been making fun of her. And he says, some of you students, you need to understand what's going on. He said, this lady here, she's been coming to this church, I think it was like 18 years. Said every time she goes home from church, her husband beats her. This is her opportunity to worship. And how dare you make fun of her and how she worships? I tell you, it changed me. Because we don't know what anybody in this room is going through. We really don't know what's happening in your own heart. I mean, our heart is desperately wicked. Who could know it? Thank God for God. Amen. But everybody in this room, I just want to challenge you. It's in the presence of Jesus that everything changes for your life. Please don't be just watching. Step in. It might be just your way. I mean, you're loose in worship might be. And you're loose. Somebody else might be jumping around the front. Somebody else might be laying out on the floor. You always watch my wife. She's kneeling at the altar and she talks really loud. Everybody's different. We honor each other in our worship. Amen. But remember, you still got to worship. And you always got to move forward. So do something you've never done before. Worship in a way you've never worshiped before. I remember the very first time I danced before the Lord. Listen, I can't dance. I'm white. No, there are white people, and then there are white people. And Queenie, who I was in drama with for Bible college, she was an African-American out of Jersey, and she looked at me, she goes, Mike, you're just so white. She said, you got no rhythm. And I remember the very first time I just cut a rug, man. That's what they call it in Christianity. They cut a rug. I just started dancing before the Lord. You know what? I felt so free. Because you know what you break? What everyone else is thinking about you. Who gives a flying leap what anybody in this room thinks about how you worship? We're not here pleasing man. We're here pleasing God. Can I hear an amen? If you shout louder than anybody else, then shout! If you want to dance, then dance! I saw a jig on it. But you see, we have a problem. Our God's not dead. He is alive. So you can't worship in a dead, cold manner. Can I hear an amen? I said, can I hear an amen? I can't hear you. I said, can I hear an amen? Oh, no, he's going to get it going now. Are you okay now? Turn to someone and say, I'm going to be all right. We want you to maybe move something. Can you move something? Move your foot. No one will see you. Move your foot. Come on, you got this thing. Come on, let's praise with our feet right now. Come on, just do some kind of movement. Praise God with your feet. Come on. I'm sorry, because this service could go forever. You know what's really funny? Some of you are saying,
you know what? You know, it's getting long, Pastor.
What are you going to do when you get to heaven? Ho! Jesus, I've been worshiping for almost 25 minutes. It's time to stop. Come on now. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? I said, how are you going to worship him when you get to heaven? What are you going to do when you see Jesus face to face? Come on, can you praise him? Amen. Turn to someone and say, I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Go find five people you don't know right now and tell them, I got the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Bless somebody. Don't go sit down. Make sure you say hi to somebody you don't know. Somebody you don't know. Don't be a snob in this place. Hallelujah.
For the Upwork team, I just want to take the chance to thank you so much for your continued support. This year, the Upwork conference is going to be huge, and we're almost booked to max capacity. So if you're an adult considering coming, please just keep these things in mind.
We're running out of room fast, and we want to make sure there's enough space for the youth and young adult population. So for that reason, adults will be charged a $20 entrance fee this year for conference. But don't worry, we do have a free live stream option, so you can enjoy all the action from the comfort of your own home. So guys, thanks again for all of your support, and just know that you are changing lives on a national scale. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, share this video with your friends, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and our brand new Snapchat, the_uproar.
Somebody got him gassed up on that octane. Look, I hate to tell him they ain't better, but don't get an umbrella, got rain. Let's go back in time to late 80s. B-10, hold me down, that's where they made me. When I'm backed up, ain't vacating. Why? Feels like I'm home, think I'm about staying. I ain't staying up.
Wow, that is this week. All of our sewing and preparation. Now they are laying the groundwork with fasting and prayer. So if you will be in prayer this week, we have sown and we are going to see a great harvest. God is going to come and change this generation powerfully this week. That is Uproar. I believe they still need volunteers. If you want to help out, go see somebody at the Hub. We also have the Chemung County Fair coming up. We have been at the fair for 18 years, sharing the love of Jesus. So if you are interested in coming, and maybe you've never done anything like that before, I challenge you to sign up at the Hub and come do something outside. Like Pastor asked you to come a couple seats forward, or maybe raise your hand, or maybe shout a little this morning. This morning, I'm asking you to come a little bit more forward and bold and join helping with the Chemung County Fair. It is a privilege. It's paid for. You get to just show up and share Jesus. It's all prepped and set for you. So if you're interested in that, please, after the service, and you might forget. So if you want to put a reminder in your phone, because the power of God hit in first service, like God showed up. So put a reminder in your phone that you need to go to the Hub afterwards and sign up to help volunteer at the Chemung County Fair. Amen. We want to welcome all the guests in the house today. Thank you so much for being with us. As you can see, we're a little bit passionate about Jesus because he's pretty awesome. So don't mind if we shout a little or get excited. We love God, and we are so glad that you have come today to celebrate him with us. We know you're going to leave changed. If you're a guest in our house, just raise your hand up. We have a gift we'd like to bring to you. So if it's your first time here and you're a guest, just raise your hand up. Raise your hand up right up here in the front center. Thank you. A whole bunch in this section. Let's just give a hand clap for this section. They brought guests to the house today. Thank you so much. Thank you for being with us.
There's a lot of folks right here in this whole section that didn't receive anything.
Right here.
Raise your hands one more time, please.
If you're a guest in the house, just raise your hand up. We don't want to miss you. I also want to say, after the service, again, you might forget, because it's going to be powerful. It's going to continue in just what we've already been in. We have a guest reception down this hallway. So after the service, come to the guest reception, meet the pastors. We'd love to get to know you. So welcome to the house of God today. If you're watching via live stream, thank you so much. We know people are watching from all over the world. We have family on vacation that are tuning in live stream. We know the power of God is going to transform your life today. So thank you for joining in.
Praise the Lord. We're going to receive the morning tithes and offerings. How many of you recognize that God wants you blessed and not cursed? You know, the church world teaches the poorer you are, the more spiritual you are. And I want you to know that's a lie from hell. Turn to someone and say, that's a lie from hell. Money can't make you more spiritual, and money can't make you less spiritual. Money's nothing but a thing. Can I hear an amen? What God wants you to do is have more than enough so that you can bless other people. See, there's nothing more, you know, I teach people this all the time. There's nothing more poverty-minded and selfish than a person saying to me, Pastor, I'm only believing for just enough for my needs. Because if you can only believe just enough for you, then how will you ever have enough to bless somebody else? Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, I want to be a blesser. That's right. It's the nature of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. The Bible says your eye has not seen and your ear has not heard. You can't even perceive the great things that God has in store for you. Listen, this has nothing to do with money. It has to do with you. Because when you and I are healthy, money's nothing more than a tool to propel the kingdom. Can I hear an amen? There are three types of giving in the scripture. Number one is tithing. Tithing is found in Malachi, but way before Malachi. It was ever before the law was ever brought in. We know that Abram gave a tithe to Melchizedek, who's a type of Jesus Christ found in the book of Hebrews. You see, tithing is not a religious mindset. It is actually activating God in your finances. And I don't know about you, I want God for me in my money, not against me. Can I hear an amen? Also, I want to remind you, in Malachi chapter 3, it says this, return to me and I'll return to you, saith the Lord. And the question was, how do we return to you? And he said, with your tithe and your offering. Showing this, that tithes and offerings has everything to do with your relationship with God. This is relational. This is covenant relationship. So being a tither is the plan of God. And some of you are saying, Pastor, I don't have the money to tithe. I challenge you to tithe for 3 months. And what you'll find is that God will always come through. Because at that point, it's his job. Amen? And I don't know about you. I just always pray for pavement. Do you know what I mean, praying for pavement? What's the street? What's heaven like? What are the streets up in heaven? I'm just praying for some pavement. Lord, send me some pavement. I just need a little piece of pavement from the North Country. Hallelujah. God, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The second type of giving is alms. It's when we give to the poor people. The Bible says that we will always have the poor amongst us. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and God will reward you. The third type of giving is seeding. And that is when you and I, with design and understanding, seed for a harvest. That's so important because Oral Roberts made a declaration of one of the worst things he finds within the body of Christ was that the church leaves their harvest in the field. We sow, we sow, we sow, we sow. You know, the devil don't mind if you sow as long as you never harvest. And so as you sow, harvest what you are sowing for. Amen? And you'll find that your life will become abundantly blessed because that's the plan of God. Not that the church be poor, but that the church will have more than enough so that whenever there's a need, we'll always be able to seed. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. If you're a guest in the house, what we do for offering is we actually have you bring your offering to the Lord. Now, if you're a person that's a little attitudinal, we always have folks like that in the house. Well, you know, he can't make me give. I told you this is all about money. Please put your money back in your pocket. We don't need cursing in the bowl. Amen? Because we aren't saying this for us to be blessed. It's for you to be blessed. God wants you blessed and not cursed. So shout this out loud. It's the blessing found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Shout it out. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. Come on now. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. If you're watching by live stream right now, we want to encourage you. Don't be just a taker. Make sure that you're a giver. We know there are many. There are hundreds of people that watch every week. And I want to encourage you. That little give button right there is just for you to be able to be a tither. If this is your home, tithe. And if this is not your home, then you can seed. It's good ground. You'll always find a phenomenal harvest. Be blessed. We love you. Enjoy the rest of the service.
You will satisfy me.
Praise the Lord. Turn to someone and say, well, bless the Lord. We are blessed this morning. I just came back from being with the bishop. My wife and I came back from being with the bishop down in Florida. Bishop Thomas wanted me to tell you hello, and he's excited. He'll be coming this next year. We were able to be with Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, I believe on Thursday night. He just had meetings up in Rochester. Wow, we saw some phenomenal miracles. One miracle was a lady who had just had reconstructive surgery on her leg between her knee and her down near her kappa on the bone side. And she was like still weeping, you know, it's still weeping and it's not healed yet. And so she had one of those big boots on, and Brother Ted pulled her over and said, all right, God's going to heal you. Take your boot off. She took her boot off, and if you've been around Brother Ted long enough, you know what's happening next. He lays hands on her in the name of Jesus, commands her leg to be healed, and then says, all right, lady, I'm going to start squeezing your leg, and the pain will all be gone. Grabbed the hold of her leg and started squeezing, and there was no more pain in her leg. She was completely made whole by the power of Jesus' name. We have a testimony. She was able to share it the other day on Facebook. 6 years ago, correct? 6 years ago, she was in a car accident that just messed her back up so bad. Constant agony and pain for 6 years. She was on medication from the doctors that were pretty strong, narcotic. And last week, Jesus healed her back. She no longer has any pain in her back. She no longer is on the medication and had no withdrawals. If you've never seen miracles, man, you hang around here. We see them all the time. I want to give God praise. Uproar is paid for. Glory to God. Uproar is completely paid for. The outreach we're doing, September 13th, God has already been bringing in the finances, and I want to thank those who've sown. You're going to see great harvest because of the souls that are going to be saved. We have Brother Terry coming on Tuesday, Brother Tim coming on Wednesday, Brother Teddy coming on Thursday. We have Jonathan coming on Friday, and we have Tiff coming on Saturday. And then Sunday morning, right here in September, is going to be Welcome Home Sunday, His Word TV Day. So anybody you know watching His Word TV, that's the day for them to be in the house. Ice Cream Social, we're going to have a great time in the presence of the Lord. Right now, I am so blessed. And man, after hearing first service, the anointing was so strong. We are blessed this morning. As you know, as your pastor, I don't bring in a lot of speakers. And the reason is because I like preaching myself. But man, when we bring people in, man, you got to know they're good. You got to draw from them. And this brother Rick Shelton, Pastor Rick Shelton, and the Lord is used him. 1980, he started with 19 people. Now, how many of you know we started with 5 people? And he's pastored that church for many years, has now handed it on to his son. But there are thousands. And so we are just so blessed to be able to have him in this room. And I want you to recognize, grab a piece of paper and a pen, because the word is going to change your life this morning. Can we give Pastor Rick Shelton and also his beautiful wife Donna a hand clap this morning?
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And it is really wonderful privilege to be here today, and I appreciate your pastor inviting me to come and see all of you beautiful people. Wow, you look gorgeous. Do you know that? Turn to the person next to you and say, wow, you look gorgeous. Tell them that. Yeah. Some of you didn't act excited about that. But before I get into the word, I two things. Number one is I want to say that this is my wife and Donna. We've been married for 43 years, and we have four sons and 5 grandsons. I mean, not grandsons, grandchildren, boys and girls. And so anyway, that's part of our history. We pastored the church that your pastor mentioned that we started for 36 years, just until this past December, when my second son, Josh, was installed as the pastor. Now he's leading it on into the future. And next thing I want to say is that I have brought this book with me that I wrote just a couple of years ago. And in essence, what it is, the reason I wrote this book is I went through a terrible time of illness. It's a long story, but my whole immune system crashed so severely that it took me 6 years. I was 6 years dealing with it and a number of different kinds of illnesses. I was doing nothing. I was pretty much staying at home all week, sitting in a chair. And then I would just get up and sit in a chair to preach on Sunday morning. On January the 15th, 2006, the Lord revealed some things to me, spoke some things to me, and 12 days later, on the 27th, I was totally healed. God completely healed me. I say it that way because, you know, it's interesting. People say, well, why did it take you 6 years to get healed? I believe if my eyes would have been open and I would have had the revelation that I had on that day, January 15th, I believe I would have been healed whenever I had that revelation. Y'all realize that revelation always precedes manifestation. Always. You know, you first see it, and then faith arises in your heart to claim, lay hold of that in your life. Amen? So those things that God spoke to me that brought that healing, I've written in this book, and it's blessed many people around the world, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. We have it out in the lobby. If you don't like the book, then at least the foreword is written by Joyce Meyer, and so at least you'll like the foreword, all right? So there you go. Huh? Yeah, Joyce Meyer. Y'all ever heard that name before? And Joyce actually started her first role in ministry was my secretary. And, you know, her and her husband Dave and their kids were part of our church. And then I hired her as my secretary. And that lasted one day. And, well, you can imagine. Would you have Joyce as your secretary? But anyway, no, that's a joke. She worked that first day, and I was in the church praying, and the Lord spoke to me and told me I'd made a mistake, and that He had something great for her, and that if she was a real security was real important to her at that time. And so the Lord said, if you leave her in her, she'll get rooted in this position, and will not step out into what I've called her to do later on. So I went in. She says I fired her that day, but I didn't fire her. I just let her go. And because God spoke to me. And you know, sure enough, it wasn't but about a year later that she was on our staff as one of our pastors. And she was one of my pastors on staff for the next 5 years. And out of that, her ministry grew. And, of course, the rest is history. So I always like to say, though, whenever I mention all this, that Joyce is 10 years older than me. That's very important to know. Joyce is 10 years older than me. And she would certainly appreciate me saying that. So I want to share a scripture with you in my message today. I want to talk about, actually, my journey it's what I call my journey into the presence, the power of God, but I really don't, I'm not sure how far I'll get into that. I just want to be led of the Spirit this morning in this. God's presence has been so powerful here this morning in such a wonderful way. And let me say before I read the scripture, let me just say it this way. Look, my calling in this season of my life, the Lord spoke to me, and He said, Rick, He said that all these years you've been a builder, building a church, and He said, I want you now to be a father of builders. I want you to go and help people build, other builders build their lives, to build what they're building. And the Lord says, one of the main things that's going to define what you do as you go everywhere you go around the world is, He said, Psalm 71. And I opened to Psalm 71, and here's what it said. It was where David prayed, and David said, Lord, when I was young, you taught me, and even now I declare your marvelous deeds. But when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me till I declare your power to the next generation. And the Lord says, I want you to go everywhere declaring the power of God to the next generation. And that's a lot of what I do is go to churches. I mean, it's a privilege to be here today. Or, I mean, really, to be honest with you, I could just lay back on the floor right now and enjoy the rest of the service, fall out myself and have a good time. You know, but we go so many places where we're breaking open a move of God or even a hunger for the presence of God in churches that have not or are not experiencing that. And whether I'm in that kind of church or in a church like this where the presence of God and the power of God is so powerful, one of my great passions is this. And please, put your thinking caps on with me a moment. And I want you to get this. One of the main things I am so passionate about, and this is perfect right now in light of even what's happened so far in this service, the you know, people being touched by the power of God, people being caught up in the presence of God in worship. I watched the beautiful angelic faces as there was an intimate connection between, you and God, and God's glory filling this house. That here is one of my main passions. Here it is. And that is that we have people on one side of the ditch or another. On one side, people who deny, Christians who deny that the power of God still moves today. They deny the gifts of the Spirit. They deny the language, the heavenly language of the Holy Spirit. They deny the power for healing and casting out devils and all, any kind of supernatural element of Christianity is being stripped out of much of the church. And so that's one side of the ditch. The other side is people who believe in the presence and power of God, and they believe in the baptism of the Spirit. They believe in the gifts of the Spirit and all these things. But listen, but they only believe it because that's what's been taught in their church, or that's what their parents said, or what their grandparents, that's their heritage. And so we believe this because we come to a church and, you know, praise God, you know, Jesus is alive, the Holy Ghost is here, and, you know, hallelujah, woohoo, you know. And the thing is, but yet they don't know how to defend what they believe. And the Bible is very clear that in all of our Christian belief that we need to be able to present a defense for what we believe. In other words, a case for what we believe. Now listen to this. Not just for the benefit of making an argument, you know, and convincing somebody else. We need to have the roots of that defense in our own soul so we can live with deep conviction that we know what we believe. Not, listen, we know what we believe. Y'all with me now? And so there's a large portion of the church today that is denying the presence and the power of God. And you want to know one of the number one reasons why they are. I'm talking about people who actually had their roots in Spirit-filled Christianity and now have turned away from it. Is one of the reasons they have is because much of the church is buying into the worldview of our present culture. It's the way it always happens. Our culture goes a certain way, and then the church is affected by it. It's why we have to be so dogmatic. To be honest with you, you know, people talk about Christians being intolerant. We're not intolerant, you know, in the true sense of tolerance. But I want to tell you something. We need to be intolerant if tolerance means that I am to give up my belief that this gospel is the truth and it's not just a truth or a way or another way. And it's not just that it's right for me, but not right for you. If I give up that belief that this is the truth, then I have lost the very foundational moorings of my faith. My faith is not built upon an idea or a philosophy like Mohammedism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, whatever else, you know, ideologies. This is not just another idea that we can somehow put out there on the table with all religions and say, well, this is what we submit to the table, and that's what you said. This is my idea, your idea. This is what's right for me. Let me tell you something. When we give up the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, listen to me, and no one comes to the Father but by Him. I didn't say that. He said that. Now, this gets to the root of my passion, even for people, Spirit-filled Christianity. And that is in our worldview today, in our culture, it's what we call a materialistic, rationalistic worldview. Which means that everything has to pass through our reasoning and be filtered through and rationalized in our minds in order for us to accept it. Are you with me now? In other words, everything has to be materially examined, or else I can't believe it. Are y'all with me now? And that's and the church buys into that today, much of the church. And I'm saying this because, look, your pastor was talking earlier, appealing graciously to any of you who are new here and may wonder what's going on in this place with all this, what may seem to be chaos. Let me tell you this. Listen to me carefully. What happens is, if you're not careful, you can come into the house of God and use your brain to try to figure out what's going on here, just like you would sit in the movie theater and let your brain figure out what's happening on the screen. Are you with me now? Or at a ball game and figure out what's happening in the ball game. Can I tell you, when you enter the house of God and the presence of God fills the place, you have entered into a realm where your brain is not big enough to wrap around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got news for you. God is bigger than your brain. Hallelujah. Oh, my. And I've listened to this. Oh, Jesus, help us. You know, I'm trying to get off of this. You know, I didn't want to. But maybe God is having me do this. Y'all reckon? You reckon? Listen, my passion is young people. Young people today desperately need the power and the presence of God as a confirmation for their faith. They cannot grow into adulthood carrying a faith that has just been handed down to them. One thing, let me tell you, one of the reasons I love Spirit-filled Christianity so much is because kids who grew up seeing the power of God don't carry into adulthood an ideology, because they have proof, they have evidence that Jesus is real. Y'all out there. And so our present Western worldview cannot be used, that rationalistic worldview, to discern what God is doing in this place. God, listen to this, it only makes sense if God is infinite, if God is eternal, if there's no measuring him, if God is all-powerful and all as all, we ascribe these things to God. But yet many people, when it comes to church, anything that happens out of the ordinary, they think it's either the devil or the flesh. Why ascribe such supernatural attributes to this infinite God, but yet not allow for him to set upon us as human beings in such a way that it causes the abnormal to happen to us? You with me now? God is bigger than your brain. There was a professor one day in his university class that he was an atheistic professor that was saying, to all his students, he said, let's establish first of all, right off the bat, that there is no God. In this class, that will be the underlying philosophy. There is no God. And we intellectuals now have proven that. We know that. We know there's no God. He said, I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you an example of how we know there's no God. He said, students, he says, has anyone in this class ever seen God? Raise your hand. No hands went up. Has anyone in this class ever touched God? With your hand, no one raised their hand. Has anyone ever heard God? No one raised their hand. The professor said, well, class, since no one has ever seen, touched, or heard God, then let's assume that there is no God. And one student at the back of the class stood up or raised his hand. And the professor acknowledged him and said, yes, son, what do you want? He stood to his feet and the student back there said, class, has anyone in this class ever seen the professor's brain? Has anyone ever touched the professor's brain? Heard the professor's brain? No hands went up. Well, class, let's assume the professor has no brain. I love that. I love that. I love that because I knocked over the TV now. There. Listen, I love that because it shows how foolish man's wisdom is when it comes to knowing the things of God. Are you with me now? Now let me just do this, and I'm not gonna. We've had such a wonderful time in this service, and I'm not gonna take much longer. But let me tell you a little bit of, just of my journey. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and the short of it was, when I was a kid, I saw the power of God. My mom had cancer in her female organs, and I saw my mom on a service much like this. When I was a little kid, hands were laid on her, and she went back to the doctor, and the doctors gave her a clean bill of health. The cancer was completely gone. That was over 50 years ago. And my mom is, today, she'll be 87 in October. Never has had cancer again. My dad had bleeding ulcers. And for 5 years could eat nothing but baby food. And on a service much like this, hands were laid upon him, and he was miraculously healed. And he went out, and he ate 2 chili onion hot dogs. That's faith. And my dad was totally healed, never had any problems with it after that. I saw healing after healing after healing. But then as I grew into a teenager, the church where I saw the power of God had lost the power of God. And now it was like an empty shell of what once was. They were singing the same songs, going through the same motions, but it was just a bunch of emotionalism. One of the important things you got to know, and your pastor was touching on it earlier, but emotions are so important. But there's a vast difference between emotions and emotionalism. And the main difference is emotionalism is when emotions are leading the way. But, you know, some people will say, well, Jesus never jumped or danced or shouted. No, but everybody he touched did. Right? And so emotions were a response to Jesus. But so I saw the real emotions as a little child, as God's power was moving wonderfully. And then as a teenager, it was gone. And what I'm telling you now, here I am all these years later, I'm telling it to you now, but I didn't really have it all sorted out, and I couldn't explain it like I can today. I didn't know what all I was experiencing. That when I was a teenager, I didn't know what was wrong, but now I do. The power was gone. They were singing the same songs, going through the same motions, trying to conjure up now emotionalism. That left a bad taste in my mouth. When I went away to university, you know, I decided to turn away from all that. Even as I really came back more to the Lord, I decided I was going to be, you know, some of the kind of Christian. I just didn't ascribe that much to those other things, the power of God, healing, deliverance, all those things. And to listen to this, all this happened when I was very young. When I was 19 years old, somebody gave me a book, and in this book I read a scripture. And the scripture that I read it's a simple scripture that many people read, most of you know when I say Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. But the scripture goes like this: I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Whenever I read this scripture, it just... I'm a 19-year-old kid, man. It exploded in me. It rocked my world. Why? Here's what happened. The Lord said, Rick, read it again. I read, I have been crucified with Christ. The Lord says, Rick, you're dead. You're dead. I said, I'm dead? He said, yeah, you're dead. Okay, I'm dead. He said, the old Rick is dead. What does that mean? Up until that time, listen, I had been a guy, my teachers at school said I wasn't very smart. You know, I struggled through school all the time. You know, I was a little kid, wasn't good at sports, you know, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so real insecure. People said I'd never amount to much. One teacher told my parents, you need to go get him some help, industrial training with his hands, because he'll never make a living with his brain. That's what they told me, my parents. Anyway, and then Galatians 2:20, the Lord says, Rick, the old Rick is dead. He said that means the old Rick with his limitations, the old Rick with his limited wisdom, ability, his limited strength and talent and gifts, all that old Rick had to offer. He said, Rick, he said, I didn't just take your sin to the cross. I took the old Rick to the cross, and I nailed you there. You died there, Rick. I said, okay, I'm dead. Look, I grew up in church, preached the cross, but for some reason this part never got through to me. I knew he died for my sins, but I died there with him. He said, but Rick, not only are you dead, you were crucified, but yet I live. He said, so Rick, you're alive. I go, okay, I'm dead, but I'm alive. Well, I'm a schizophrenic. I'm dead, but I'm alive. He said, but Rick, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He said, Rick, the old dead with all his limitations, the old Rick with all his limitations is dead. He said, but now there's a new Rick alive, but it's not Rick. Listen, he said, it's Christ in you. He said, what that means is from now, and it goes on to say, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He said, Rick, from now on, if you by faith will consider the old Rick dead, and if you will by faith recognize and acknowledge the resurrected Christ on the inside of you, then you will understand that all the resources of heaven, the fullness of God in him, Paul says, that in him dwells the fullness of God bodily. And he dwells in me. He says, Rick, from now on, you are never to live by the limitations of the flesh, but you're to live by the supernatural, unlimited power and strength and wisdom of the Holy Ghost. That sounds so simple, but I cannot tell you how, as a 19-year-old kid, it changed my world. Short time after that, I was called into the ministry. I mean, I just went out, my wife and I was at, before that, you know what I was doing? I was a Twinkie salesman. I worked for a Hostess selling Twinkies. I got up 5:30 in the morning, put my Twinkie suit on. Ate half the Twinkies on the way in the truck to the stores. God speaks to me, rocks my world. I quit my job. Now, this is not the pattern. I hardly ever tell. I probably shouldn't tell now, but this is not the way to do it. But I'm just telling you, you need to be trained. You need to go through discipleship and leadership development and all that. But let me tell you something. I didn't have any of that around me. Maybe if I had, maybe God wouldn't have had to do it this way. But I quit my job. Turned in my Twinkie suit. We threw everything that we own in the back of our 71 Challenger and took off to who knows where. I just had one place to preach, and I had never even preached before. I never even studied to preach. I never planned to preach the week before. And now I got one place to preach. A guy used to be my youth pastor. He was down in Alabama. He said, well, come on down here. I went down and preached that little church. I ended up over the next 2 years, my wife traveling all over. The next 2 years, we preached about 250 times a year. I preached in every tobacco field in North Carolina. I preached in every little back road church of 25 people up and down the eastern seaboard and down in the south. Listen to this. And miracles started happening. Listen to this. I started realizing, living out of the inner resources of the Holy Ghost in me. See, any of you who may be skeptical today or kind of sit back and watch and think, I don't know about all this stuff. Let me tell you something. Listen, there are very strong theological roots to all of this chaos. Are you with me now? You know what it is that in this place, there is a host of people today who understand that it's not them that's alive,
but it's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that is alive on the inside of him. I went out. The first thing that happened is I went out with this newfound power, and I went out and I went to a meeting in a little church we were having. At this point, I'd never laid hands on anybody. I never prayed for anybody. And I said, I'm going to try this stuff. And I went up and I said, anybody that needs healing, come up. Well, there wasn't many people there, but 10 people came up for healing. And I went over to the first lady in line, and I walked over to her. I said, yes, ma'am, what do you need prayer for? She raised her chin, and she said, showed me a growth on the outside of her neck about the size of a golf ball. And she says, see, this is growth. I wanted you to pray. And I remember thinking, God, couldn't we start out with something easier first? God, I'm just getting started. I'm in kindergarten right now, Lord. Give me a headache or something, Lord. A growth on the outside of the neck that somebody can see. At least give me a growth on the inside that nobody would say, well, go ahead, God. But listen to me. I did what I was learning to do. I laid my hands on her. And now, because I realized that Ulrich is dead, and now the life of Christ is alive in me, I begin to learn that the life of Christ is released through me. Now listen to this very carefully. There's a lot of people who don't understand this. Your pastor doesn't know, but I was watching him this morning, and it so blessed me. Most people don't get this. But you see, a lot of people, when they pray for people, whether they're pastors or church people, whatever, they pray for people and they lay hands on them and say, oh, God, come and heal this person. God, will you touch? God, come, and whatever. And I watched your pastor, and your pastor didn't do that when he was standing here praying. When he's standing here praying for people from the pulpit, he said, I'm going to pray for you now. You ready? He prayed, and he goes, whoosh. I don't know what he made. Was that. It's not the shh. That's not in the Bible, you know. Maybe in the Greek or Hebrew or something. But so it's not the word of the sound. My point is, what was he? You know, y'all think, somebody thinking crazy if you're thinking with your head. You know what I said, that man gets it. You know what he was doing? He realized that when you pray, you are not calling power down from heaven on the people. You are releasing power from the reservoir of God's fullness on the inside of you. Ha! That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. Do you notice that Jesus never prayed long prayers in public? He prayed long, private, devotional prayers of fellowship with God. But his public prayers of ministry praying were always one or two words. Go! Come! Be opened! Be still! I love those prayers. Wow! The Pharisees prayed these long, thee thou hast, O God, hast of the highest, whatever is. Jesus says, go! Come! Open! Ah! What was Jesus doing? Jesus didn't look up and say, oh God, would you come, dear Father? Please open these blind eyes. No, he's looking there and says, be opened! He realizes that when he came out of that cold water of the Jordan River and that heavenly dove descended upon him, hallelujah, he returned in the power of the Spirit. And now when he was ministering, he was not calling down heaven. He was releasing heaven out of the inside of him. Hallelujah! Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. So I started with this woman with the growth. Remember her? You know, on her neck. I prayed for her releasing it. And so I go on quickly, you know, just not waiting for anything, you know. And I go on quickly, and I go to the next person. And as I get really hands on the next person, I hear this woman scream, ah! I thought, oh, God, I've killed the first one. I look back over there, and I said, what is it? She held her chin up, and the growth was completely gone. Listen, dude, listen. No, listen. Let me tell you. I'd never prayed for anybody. Never seen anybody healed or touched. And now, it rocked my world. Let me tell you something. This stuff will ruin you for normal Christianity. It will ruin you for normal services. It'll ruin you for that old religiously dead stuff. You have a growth. It'll ruin you. One more thing. And that is that God began to lead me and guide me, and I saw miracles and healings taking place. But I noticed that they were happening sporadically, basically based on how much faith I felt at the time or how spiritual I felt I was that day. I started picking this up, that I was seeing things happen if I felt really good spiritually, like I'd had a great time in prayer today. Whew, man, so now I've got faith. And I felt big faith, stuff happened. But in other days, I just didn't feel real spiritual. I hadn't had a good time in prayer. And I had, I don't know, maybe I'd yelled at my wife or something. I don't yell at my wife, but whatever. See there? Listen, I was just checking to see she agreed, all right? Yeah. Listen, and so if I didn't feel real spiritual or a lot of faith, it's like then I didn't see stuff happen. It was sporadic. And I thought, God, I said, what? You know, I want to see this all the time. Is this just to happen sporadic like this? And then the Lord began to show me something. It's a very simple principle, and that is that, I'll say it to you this way. Look, when we pray for open heavens corporately, it's the right thing to do. But when we talk about open heavens, if we're talking about our own individual life, it's the wrong thing to do. Because there are things that need to be opened up over cities, over neighborhoods, over nations, where the heavens are not opened up. But let me tell you something. Whenever Jesus ascended after, in his resurrection, if you imagine this, you know, don't try to work this out theologically, but he poked a hole in the heavens. And then when he did, then 10 days later, the Holy Ghost come back down through that hole. Y'all look at me weird now. Well, I'm trying to make a point. So the Holy Spirit comes. And when the Holy Spirit comes and fire sets upon each of them, miracles, signs, and wonders start taking place. Listen, 2 years later, we see Stephen when he's being martyred in his dying words. He looks up into the heavens and he says, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God. What does that mean? It had been 2 years and the heavens still hadn't closed. When it comes to your personal life, the heavens are always open. I think the prayer that we need to pray many times over our own personal life is not, God, open up the heaven over my life, but God, unstop the well in my soul. Yeah. Listen, because the heavens are open, but we've got a lot of stuff that blocks the clouds between the heaven and the well of our spirit. Are you with me now? I learned that you can, if you will just stay in faith and just stay trusting in what's in you, that you can move in the supernatural power and ability of God really at any time, because it's not you anyway. Who cares if you feel enough faith or if you feel spiritual? It's not you anyway. And man, this totally changed in my thing. Whenever, now here a little time later, I'd been healed and sick, but I never cast a devil out. And, you know, I'd never been taught to cast out devils. And I'd seen people do it, preachers do it. But one day a woman comes to me and she says to me, I was praying in this church. And she comes in the middle of the day and she says to me, are you a minister? I said, yes. She said, do you believe in casting out devils? I said, well, yes. She said, do you do it? I said, well, I've never done it, but why do you ask? She says, because I've possessed by the demons. I said, well, how do you know you're possessed by demons? And so she started telling me her story, and I stopped her and said, you're possessed by demons. It's not, yeah. It was an unbelievable story. What all the manifestations would take place? It was crazy stuff. So anyway, I set out. Now I'm learning this stuff, I'm telling you. And I set out to say, okay, you ready? I said, I'm going to lay hands on you. And I'd never been taught how, but I just seen other preachers in here. And so I only did it the way I'd seen them do it. Was, you know, it was to shout and get physical. And so I went and I grabbed hold of her. I said, come out! Come out! I was shaking the back of her. Come out, you devil! She's going like this, you know. And I'm doing this, but come out, come out, come out. And then after a while, I got tired and I started saying, go, 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 go. And then please, please, please. And I'm doing this. I'm violently shaking her, and I'm come out in Jesus' name. You know, I did that for about an hour until I was totally wet with sweat, and she was too. And I opened my eyes and looked, and when I did, this devil, after 1 hour of doing that, this devil got the ugliest, through her, smirk on the face. And I heard the demon laugh through her, mocking at me. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Now, you try to cast out a devil for an hour, and then after, you're all wet with sweat, and then the devil's mocking you and laughing at you. I was humiliated. Now, listen to me carefully. Watch it. I was humiliated. And so anyway, I thought, I don't know what else to do. And so I said to the woman, I said, I need to go over here and pray. And I said to the woman, I said, look, I'm going to go over here and pray. I said, would you just wait right? Matter of fact, both of you, you and the devil, you just wait right here. And I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pray. And she said, okay. So I went over in the corner and I got down and I prayed. And I said, God, I said, I don't understand what's going on. And I said, you've been seeing the healing of the sick, but you said to cast out devils too. And the Lord spoke to me. And all I said, now what I'm going to say next, it's not a formula, but I'll make my point in a minute. The Lord said this to me. He said, go back over there and just calmly start walking around her and sing the old song, Oh, the Blood of Jesus. And so I said, okay. So I walked over there, and she was standing there just like this, big, ugly, I mean, not ugly, but smirk, evil smirk. And so anyway, I started walking around her. And I closed my eyes. I started singing, Oh, the Blood of Jesus. Oh, the Blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. And I did that, and I didn't even look at her. I just marched around 3 or 4 times. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And so anyway, after 3 or 4 times, I finally decided to just take a peek. And I'm walking, and I looked up. And when I looked up at her, here's what I saw. I thought, oh, the blood of Jesus. Baby, I mean, I was home. I just kept walking around and singing, oh, the blood of Jesus. And you know, as I continue to do that, only I can describe this is that demon just almost physically like screwed her into the ground, just like just until she finally fell out on the floor. And then when she fell out, she laid out there a while, and after a few minutes, opened her eyes, and I looked as she got up. She had this beautiful, innocent smile. The demons were completely gone, and that woman was a part of our church for many years. Listen, here's the thing. Here's what the Lord taught me in that. He said, Rick, he said, you were trying, watch this, you were trying to do my work by exerting your energy in my name. You see that? So anyway, he said, you're trying to do my work by exerting your energy in my name. He said, whenever I told you, go sing, oh, the blood of Jesus, don't touch her. You weren't looking at her, nothing. You weren't even speaking, nothing. He said, what I was doing was you ready for this? Was I was removing you from the equation. You had nothing to do with it. I wanted to show you that everything I do through you has nothing to do with you. When you understand that, then you understand what it means that I'm alive, but Christ lives in me. You don't work. Even sometimes, you know, we'll try to, you know, have things happen. You know, we believe in the power of the Spirit, but then we feel like, oh, we got to pray louder prayers or something, you know. Ah! Or preaching, ah! And I'm yelling until I shout some. But, you know, when I grew up, man, we believed the more you shouted, and you know, as a preacher, the more anointed you were. You know, they said, boy, that guy was really anointed. You know, did you hear how much he shouted today? Ah! And boy, if they ever started sucking air, we said, my God, they were anointed. That's where you go, and I want you to know that the Lord. And if they were doubly anointed, they would suck air and hack at the same time. I want you to know that the Lord. And we call that anointing. You with me now? I begin to realize now, some of the times when I experience the presence of God the most is when all of a sudden everything comes to a standstill. And the glory of the Lord. Stand to your feet right now with me, if you will. Stand to your feet. I sense the presence of God. Oh, my God. Just stand to your feet. Just close your eyes right now. Here comes the presence of God. The presence of God is coming. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, just stand there just a moment. The presence of God fills this house right now. In the name of Jesus. The oil of heaven. Come. The oil of heaven pour. My God. Ishtahad, the joy of the Holy Ghost. Rise within their souls. The fire of God, come, burn in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The presence of God is just set upon this place right now in just a glorious way. I just feel like we ought to just worship Him just a moment. Just can you sing a worship song? Let's just worship Him just a moment in His presence.
We love You.
We worship and adore You. Glorify. Sing it, Thy name.
Thy name
in all the earth. Glorify Thy name, oh, we glorify Thy name, oh, we glorify Thy name. Worship Him. Glorify Thy name in all. Jesus, we love You. Oh, Jesus, we love You. We worship and adore You. Oh, glorify Thy name in all the earth. Glorify Thy name, glorify Thy name, oh, glorify Thy name, glorify Thy name
in all the earth.
I want just every head bowed, never mind. Close just a moment. Well, the presence of God is just so beautifully present in this house. I just want to ask you right now, everyone in this house, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know for sure that if Jesus would come today, or if you would have to go meet Him, would you be ready? Is your heart right with God? It's a serious question. It's the most serious question you'll ever be asked. You'll never be asked a more serious question. The question of what is your career? How are you going to make a living? Who will you marry? Where will you live? All those questions pale in comparison to where will you spend eternity? Are you ready to meet God? Don't let anything stand between you and God today. I would like to pray with you. I would like to personally pray with you if you say, Pastor Rick, I need God. I want God in my life. I want to give my life to Him. I want to be forgiven of my sin, made right with God. Maybe you've known God, but you've fallen away from Him. And God's drawing you back today. And you said, Pastor Rick, I need God. I want to give my life to Him. If that's you, if you want that prayer, everyone all over this place, slip up your hand if that's what you want. Quickly, quickly, all over the place. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Yes, over there. And yes, over here. And yes, there. And yes, there. And yes, back there. Okay? You can put your hands down. All right, and I want to ask one more time. If you raise your hand, you don't have to raise again, but anybody else, before we join together, you say, Pastor Rick, God's dealing with me. You're in the valley of decision. Please don't leave this house without God. I beg of you. The devil hates your guts. The pull that you feel away from God is the enemy trying to destroy your life. It will not end up the way you think. God loves you. Don't turn Him away. Is there anybody else? You say, Pastor Rick, that's me. God's dealing with me. I want to give my life to Christ today. Lift your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yep. Okay. God bless you. Is there one other person? One other person? Nobody? All right. I want you to look at me right now. All of you who raise your hand. Would you do this? Those who raise your hand, I would like to pray with you. Would you just step out in the aisle and let me meet you? I'm going to meet you right down here, and we're going to pray together. Just come. Come. From back there and back there. That's it. Pastor, once you come, I don't know how you handle it. I'm going to just come. The others, just come on up here. Who else? Whether there were several more back here and over. Yeah, there you go. Come on from there. Just stand right up here. Stand right up here. Awesome. Fantastic. Hallelujah. Isn't this beautiful? Come on. Hallelujah. All right, listen. Listen. I want to tell you, you got to know. I think most everybody in this place would agree with this, even with everything else that's happened today. To us, this right here is why we came here today. It's because of you. To see you come to Jesus. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Just a simple prayer out of your heart. I'm going to give you the words, but let it come out of your heart. This has got to be your heart prayer. Everybody join with them. Would you just say this? Dear Father God, I want you so bad in my life. I don't want to live another day without you. Please forgive me of my sin. I open my heart to you now. And I make you the Lord of my life. Come live in me and make me what you want me to be. And I thank you for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. How this is a pastor, of course.
We're excited. We want to make sure that you get the follow-through that you need. It's not just how you start. We want to finish, right? We want to cross the finish line strong. And so Minister Randall's right here. He's going to be over in that corner. We want to pray with you. Can I pray with you before you go, honey? What's wrong? Your lungs? Your lungs. You need new lungs? Yes. You do? Father? You said lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Lord, there's no hoops to jump through. We just do what you tell us to do. So in the name of Jesus, I command brand new lungs to come out of heaven right now and into her physical body. God, I thank you that she'll be able to take a deep, clear breath. Lord, there'll be no restriction. And that, Lord, she'll no longer need the tank of oxygen. Lord, she'll be able to use the oxygen that you gave us on this planet. Lord, in Jesus' name, we declare brand new lungs in her body for the glory of God. Amen. Very proud of you. So if you'll follow Minister Randall right on over there. Hallelujah. Can we give him one more hand clap? Hallelujah. How many of you enjoy Brother Rick Shelton? Wow. God is so good. We also want a seed in as we're leaving. We want a seed into this ministry as he travels. And so all those who understand what seeding is. Now you're saying, well, I don't have a dime. Then pull a lint out of your belly button. Seed lint if you got to get something. Remember, if you have no seed, it's because you eat your seed. All farmers recognize that you don't eat all that you harvest. You save some out for next level of planting. So the ushers are coming through the aisle right now. They're going to be handing out seed offering. And they come with no funds. They say, you don't have to do anything special, Pastor. Just do whatever the offering is. So we're going to sow into them. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that each one, Lord, in this room, every one of us are sowers because we know the principle of seed time and harvest. We know, God, that we will harvest. So, Lord, each one of us will seed with understanding, with clarity, with the reception of type of harvest that we're looking for. Thank you for this man of God and his bride. Thank you for their ministry that they are able to do all over the planet, literally all over the planet. Thank you, Father, for his ability that you have given him to speak to these young ministers who are abandoning the supernatural. Father, I pray for strong influence that, Lord, they will turn and come back to the principles of the book of Acts. Lord, we just thank you for the honor and privilege of serving into this man of God and his bride in Jesus' name. And everybody said, if you're making a check, you make it right out to his tabernacle. And the offering plates are up front. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Make sure you bring at least one soul. Remember, Uproar is this coming Thursday night. You don't want to miss it. We love you. Make sure you're a sower.